This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Beat me up on the mamas of all mama shit.
Hey, I'm looking through my telescope and I see a mothership. Is that you? Beam me up.
Hey, D.A., I'm thirsty, man. Can you beam me up for a cold one?
Hey, D.A., what's going on, baby? Stop me off and beam me up.
D.A., what's the silly old permission to get in that mothership?
Is my window seat still available? Beam me up.
What's going on, D.A.? Hey, man, I need you to do me a huge favor. My co-worker's a jerk. So just beam me up, man. Get beamed up. Everyone else has. It's DA on CBS Sports Radio.
And we come to you live for the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Happy Tuesday to you, everybody. Glad you're with us as we slide into our new time slot, 9 until noon Eastern, here on CBS Sports Radio, heard nationally and syndicated across the country. One of the programs that has immediately grabbed attention to college football is the Minnesota Golden Gophers because of their hiring of P.J. Fleck. And the most recent recruiting rankings have Minnesota in rare and unique territory, maybe a top 10 class right now, according to some rankings, with the hope that this is a very good class, one of the best in program history, when all is said and done nearly a year from now in February, a National Signing Day. Joining us is head coach P.J. Fleck of the Gophers. Coach, how you doing?
I'm doing elite, guys. Good morning.
Good morning. Thanks so much for joining us, as always. I always love when we get to catch up with you. And you just had your spring game. I think that everybody that watched that spring game from around the program said, we saw energy. Energy was in the building. You bring energy to the table. Was that something you wanted to instill in spring game and kind of create part of the culture there?
Well, I think so. I think one thing I love about the University of Minnesota is just like what I loved about Western Michigan University is that Kathy Beauregard at Western Michigan allowed me to be myself, you know, and Mark Coyle here at the University of Minnesota allowed me to be me. And I think it's really powerful, you know, and when you can wake up every morning, you can be yourself. My staff can be themselves and our players can be themselves. I think that's really important. But, you know, we want to create a lot of energy and excitement. Now, I think a lot of people take my energy and excitement for promise. You know, especially right away, we've got a long way to go. We've got to continue to build this program, build our depth, and everything starts in recruiting. I think any coach will tell you that. I think any athletic director will tell you that it starts in recruiting. But not only recruiting high school student athletes, it's recruiting your players within the program, especially when you take over. I think the University of Minnesota is an elite football program. And, you know, we haven't won a Big Ten championship in over 60 years. We haven't won a national championship in over 70 years. But, you know, I think with the right formula and the right energy and the right recruiting structure and the right program and the right culture, you could do that.
So as I mentioned before, right now the rankings are good for you guys recruiting-wise. You guys are tracking down some 4-star and 5-star athletes. How are you doing it? What is your approach on the recruiting trail?
I think the biggest thing is we're ourselves, you know. And, you know, we don't sell anything. One thing about us is I think you either really, really like me and like our staff, like our energy, like our positivity, like our excitement, or you don't, right? The great thing about us is we're not one of those staffs I think you have to see 15 times to figure out, well, I just don't know about those people. You know, they're kind of wishy-washy. That's not us. We are who we are, and we're not for everybody, but we are for a lot, and we are for many. So, you know, the biggest thing for us is we're just us. And that's the only thing I said, the same thing at Western Michigan when we were having recruiting success. We are just us, and the one thing is I couldn't tell you if a kid was 3, 4, 5 stars. I could not tell you that. You know, we want the how of a young man. We want the heart. We want the unconquerable will. We want the spirit. We want the soul. We want the drive that all four areas of his life, academically, athletically, socially, and spiritually, are important to him. And if you can find young people that their life, okay, not just football, but their life is incredibly important to them, I think you can have success as a football program.
P.J. Fleck, head coach, Minnesota Golden Gophers, joining us here on the show. You alluded to that not everybody's going to like you, that you bring a lot of energy and intensity to the table. Not everybody's going to like you. Were you always okay growing up, going through this process, becoming a head coach with people not liking you? Or is that something you have to develop in terms of a thick skin and self-confidence and self-assuredness?
Well, I think you develop that over time. You know, I don't think it just always happens. You know, I was bullied in middle school, bullied in high school. I was the young man that was a freshman playing on the varsity basketball team, and all the parents would hate you because you're a freshman playing in front of their senior son. My parents got a lot of slack for that. You know, but as long as your intentions and as long as your heart is pure and in the right place, and as long as you're doing things for other people, right, and you have that care factor, you know, I can put my head down on the pillow at night knowing that we're making a difference, we're doing it the right way, we're having a lot of fun doing it, and we're making a difference in people's lives. And I think when you have a lot of energy and you're incredibly positive, you know, you're going to rub other fans wrong. You're going to rub rival fans wrong. You know, no matter what you do, you just give them more fuel to hate you more if they're a rival of you, right? So, but that's okay. You know, one thing about us is, you know, like I told you before, we're going to do it our way. And we're going to change a lot of lives doing it. And one reason why we're here is just to make a difference. You know, I'm an elementary education major. I taught sixth grade social studies. And my job here on Earth is to educate as much as I possibly can and change as many lives as we possibly can, done through a very positive and energetic way. And how we do things is very positive and it's very energetic. And again, that's what's not for everybody. I think at times I'm probably a little much for people, but it's never done in a negative way.
Are you ever exhausted? I mean, when we caught up with you the last time was before the bowl game, and you were obviously a mile a minute. You got a ton of energy. Everybody knows that about you. You are on the recruiting trail constantly. You're constantly being put in the public spotlight. You just ran your spring game. With all this energy, do you just fall at the pillow and just totally crash? Are you one of these guys that sleeps like 4 hours a day and gets up and has all the energy again?
No, I have no problem sleeping. Very similar to our staff, I'd say that, you know, we have no problem sleeping. When we hit the pillow, we go to bed. It's just what time does our head actually hit the pillow and what time do we wake up? You know, we've got a lot to do. And one thing about our program and our culture and our staff is, you know, we say that this is our plan. This is our direct plan. This is how it's going to happen year 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and so on. And so we have an obligation to make sure that happens. And we owe it to everybody, the state of Minnesota, the University of Minnesota, our Twin Cities, to do what we said we're going to do. Now, we're going to do it in a very unique and different way. And we're going to do what we have to do to make sure that happens in a way that we can be able to bring success to the Twin Cities in a way that everybody wants that. But again, it's that love for life. It's that love for our job. It's the passion and the energy you have. Waking up every morning to go change a life and to make a difference in this world. And, you know, I've never really had bad days. I've had hard days, but that's where Row the Boat came from. And when you experience something tragically like that, you never really have a bad day again. So, you know, when people say things about you or do things to you, it really shouldn't affect you, and it really doesn't affect us because of what we've all been through. And same thing with our staff.
When you are out there recruiting, is it more about message or effort? Because you're known as the guy that's going to be there all the time, call all the time, text all the time, you're high energy. But you also have a very specific and calculated message. Which one's more important?
Well, I think it's a combination of both. I think you have to have effort, passion, and love behind the message. But it's not about the message of Row the Boat. That's not what it's about. Because I could believe in Row the Boat. If nobody else believes in Row the Boat, nobody else cares about Row the Boat, then why do I even have it, right? It's about the messengers, right? So we want as many messengers as we possibly can have, people who really want to believe it, want to let it use them to create a lifestyle for not only them, but their children one day and their children's children one day, and really make it a lifestyle. And that's win or lose, right? We're not sitting here saying, hey, we're bringing you in here just to win. We want you to come in here at the University of Minnesota to become a winner, right? A winner in all four areas of your life. And that's what we truly, truly stress. In the college game where coaches are getting fired for 9 wins and 10 wins, you better have substance behind your program so you can put your head down on the pillow at night and say, I'm making a difference. Because sooner or later, the expectation is going to be so high that for 10, 11 wins, you're going to get fired. And that's what we want to create. That's what we created at Western Michigan. You know, people were starting to say, well, shoot, you got to win 12 games. All of a sudden, it's like, wow, 12. Or if we don't win 12, we're going to get fired at a place where before they just wanted a few, right? And now we've created something there. So we want to create that same thing here, but we want to do it with substance that people aren't only just proud of championships we can win on the field eventually, but they're proud of how we're doing it. And I think that's where the whole message and messenger comes into play. And there's got to be a lot of effort and energy behind it. And when you have a saying like row the boat that actually has substance, and it's not just a cheer or a rally cry, it actually has substance behind it to change people's lives forever, to work in the Children's Hospital at Masonic on campus, to work in different hospitals, work in different families, work for different causes with American Heart Association and breast cancer awareness and autism, and pancreatic cancer and troops that come home. When it has the ability to work that deep and that big, there has to be energy and there has to be a lot of messengers behind it. So they have to work hand in hand.
P.J. Fleck, Gophers head coach, joining us here on the show. As everybody knows, you made national news not long ago right here on CBS Sports Radio on the Jim Rome Show by suggesting that you took a pay cut to go to Minnesota from Western Michigan. And everybody kind of broke through the numbers and said, well, you're only making $1 million potentially Western Michigan. Now you're making 3.5. What does that mean? I'll be honest. I talked about it. And I thought that maybe you just got ahead of yourself in discussing it, because I know doing 3 hours or 4 hours of radio, sometimes you just get ahead of yourself and start going down the road and you go, oh, maybe I got to pull that back a little bit. Though you clarified this a couple of days ago, but I want you to do that again, hopefully for the listeners that didn't realize this. What were you trying to kind of come across with Rome when you were talking about that?
Well, I was just making a statement that the whole thing was talking about our children, right? That we want to teach them a lesson that you chase your dreams, don't chase the money. Right. And we're in a college profession, and you never can win when you talk about money when you're a head football coach, because we make too much money. Right. But my point was, is that there were two contracts on the table. Right. Where I was talking future contract. I wasn't talking about what I was making at the time. Right. I was talking about there was something on the table at Western Michigan, there was something on the table at University of Minnesota. And that's all I was saying. You know, it wasn't a disrespect to Western Michigan University. It wasn't a disrespect to University of Minnesota. It was. The lines we were talking about was lessons I was teaching my children, my own four kids. And that's what came out, and probably came out in a way that probably, like if I would have said it again, probably wouldn't have said it that particular way. But in my mind, I knew what was on the table, right? So nobody else did. That was my point. I knew what was on the table. But this wasn't about money. This was about chasing a dream of mine to coach in the Big Ten and to coach at a place that was very similar to Western Michigan when we took over, to turn it into something that maybe it's always dreamed of becoming, or hasn't become that in the last 60 years or 70 years. That was why I was so inspired to take this job. And that was the point of the message. I think one person took that, pulled it out, tweeted it all over the place, and next thing you know, and everybody wants to talk about P.J. Fleck talking about money. So it was actually the complete opposite. It was the passion and the opportunity to come here. But it was a comparison of, like I said, two contracts on the table in terms of what was being offered.
Before I let you go, I want to ask you about Western Michigan wideout Corey Davis, because he is one of the draft's great mysteries here. He has potential because of his talent and his speed and everything to be a very high first-round draft pick. He did have an injury-filled draft season as well. When you look at Corey Davis, what do you think about his potential at the next level?
Well, I think he's incredibly high, you know, but you look at a guy that only missed two games in his college career, and both times we held him out because he was, I forgot who we were playing, but we felt like we were going to be okay with him. And you're talking about a guy who's a freshman player of the year, consensus All-American at the end, All-MAC every single year. That's the football part. But the best thing about Corey Davis is the type of person he is. He was the hardest worker on our football team. He had no offers out of high school. He was a two-star athlete. Luke Getzey, who's now the wide receiver coach of the Green Bay Packers, and Matt Simon, our wide receiver coach here at the University of Minnesota, did a tremendous job of developing him into the player that he is. But more importantly, the person he is today. And Corey's one of the most humble young men you'll ever meet, one of the most hardworking men you'll ever meet. In terms of his work ethic, the only way I could compare it to was when I was working in Tampa as a wide receiver coach, I'd compare him to a Vincent Jackson-type work ethic where you had to peel him off the field. You had to get him off the field an hour after practice. He really, really cares about him making a difference to a ball club. He's a difference maker. He was a difference maker for us. We wouldn't have been 13-0 and 13-1 without a lot of players on the team, but especially Corey Davis. I think he's going to make an elite pro. I think any team that gets him is really going to be pleased, because he can come in as a one, he can come in as a two, but he's going to really push people in that league because of how hard he works to become an elite football player.
He's 6'3". He's got physicality, tied for the lead among all D1 players, 19 touchdowns, FBS record, more than 5,000 receiving yards as well. So the guy obviously can play. We'll see where he goes on the NFL draft. Joining us here is Minnesota head coach P.J. Fleck, who right now has one of the recruiting classes in the nation that people are really talking about. P.J., it's always really fun to catch up. I always like picking your brain, man. Thanks so much for doing it with us this morning.
Hey, it's really an honor. It means a lot to our program. So keep rowing the boat. Sky Yamaha. Thanks a lot.
Okay. P.J. Fleck joining us, head coach of the Minnesota Golden Gophers. He's obviously a different guy. He's wired differently. And I think that he's being honest and he's being real when he says not everybody's going to like me, because he comes at it with a lot of energy. As I mentioned before, with his pay cut comments, I think he probably got ahead of himself and phrased it. It sounded good. I took a pay cut to come here, a massive pay cut, when in reality, that sounds better than the reality is. It's not a massive pay cut to come here, but that he had two good offers on the table. But I really like him. I really do. I totally understand why young people are drawn to P.J. Fleck, and I totally understand why Minnesota wanted to open up the bank for him, and I totally believe that Minnesota is going to now become a very formidable program. Now, are they ever going to become Ohio State or Michigan? Probably not, but can they get to that next level where that second tier of Wisconsin and Michigan State have been? Yeah, I think they can get in that conversation. Might take some time, but I think that's the type of guy that eventually gets there. He's just different like that, and I think different in a good way. When we come back here on the DA Show, a night more than 30 years in the making in the Stanley Cup playoffs, and we grade it. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
The way sports talk was meant to be, on an imaginary spaceship.
Whoa, 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 there, Mraz. Whoa, 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 whoa.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Whoa, 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 whoa. If it's taking longer to stop, visit O'Reilly Auto Parts with a spring break deals event. You can take advantage of O'Reilly's Do It Right or eBay. Get a $20 O'Reilly gift card by mail when you buy a set of Brake Best Select pads and a pair of rotors. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better prices every day. Trash Tuesday for the first time in our new time slot coming up here in about 17 minutes from now. If there's anything or anybody you'd like to trash, you can do that by dialing us up at 855-212-4CBS or on Twitter, get at me, DA on CBS. We do discourage politics in this conversation just to make sure we keep it light.
Google, Yahoo, Facebook, Twitter.
So last night was the first time in more than 30 years since that night I'm sure you all remember, April the 10th, 1985. We're going back to 1985? When all four NHL playoff games went to OT, the only other time that has happened was 1980. So 80, 85, and now 17. The only times four NHL playoff games went to overtime all on the same night. It happened last night. And when history happens, the DA Show is here to discuss, and we are here to grade, and we are here to mark what we like and what we don't like. It is time to count down, or at least grade out, who we think had the best overtime game winner last night in terms of a play-by-play call. The NHL 94 theme song, and here we go. We begin with the Maple Leafs as Tyler Bozak gives a game winner to Toronto to take a 2-1 series lead over the Washington Capitals.
Dished off on the far side for Bozak. Centering pass, scores! Scores! Tyler Bozak! Holy mackinaw, the Leafs have won it! Tyler Bozak! Deflects the shot past Holtby. Hey, Mike Modano, there's going to be at least six games.
Oh, I like that one. That was Joe Bowen on Leafs Radio Network. To me, that's a 9.1. The only way I could grade it higher to a 9.5 or a 10 was if he had a catchphrase at the end. I like a radio hockey catchphrase. Like, I like those from Mike Lang. But the energy and everything is encapsulated there. That's a fantastic final call.
Yes. Also, the Capitals had a 3-1 lead in this game when Mike Modano took to Twitter to say the energy in Toronto was great and all, but Capitals in five. So basically, in-game, adjusting with the Maple Leafs comeback, he throws a shot Modano's way.
Ah!
Which, instead of a catchphrase, you give that, which is something you didn't sit on all day.
Okay. Then it's up to a 9-5, because on the fly, you're adjusting your final call.
That means a producer handed you wouldn't believe what Mike Madonna said, and that sat with him, and he had it ready to dig him at the end.
And how about Toronto taking it to the Washington Capitals, the best team in the league all season? The President's Trophy winners are down 2-1 to the plucky underdog Leafs.
Unbelievable. I would make the comparison of this. This Capitals group with Alex Ovechkin, if you're an NBA fan, is like Chris Paul and Doc Rivers and the Clippers. Tons of talent, always in the mix, always good records, and nothing ever to show for
it. But this would be like if they were the one seed in the Western Conference and they were down 2-1 of the first round.
Unbelievable. And choking, look out for the Maple Leafs. They're going to be around for like the next 10 years.
Choking dogs right now in D.C., as always. Let's go to Ottawa and Boston. It's the Bruins and the Senators. And Bobby Ryan, once a target in the trade talks of the Bruins, has a power play game winner for the Sens.
Carlson to the line and in for Bobby Ryan. Drops it back. Turra sends a shot and scores! Bobby Ryan tips it by Rask. Ottawa wins it 4-3 in overtime.
Dean Brown and Gord Wilson on Senators Radio Network. I need a little bit more there.
Especially because Ottawa had an overtime game winner on Saturday. It's their second straight overtime game winner. He just didn't give you the juice that Toronto's giving you under the same scenario. And playing a Bruins team that's been, you know, your rival all year.
Yeah, that's a 7 for me.
I would go as low as a 6.
Really?
I would.
Wow. Let's go to the game winner for the Predators as the Preds take a 3-0 series lead over the Chicago Blackhawks.
That slowed down the flow of the play a little bit by going wide. Now Neal for Fiala. He scores! He scores! At 16:44 of the overtime period. Yes, folks. Go eight. Go eight to D.
Solid. Pete Weber, Predators Radio Network on the call. Drowned out a little bit by the crowd. Crowd was insane, obviously, down in Nashville. They take a 3-0 series lead over the Blackhawks that a lot of people thought would make it back to the Stanley Cup Finals. The story's been great for Nashville. The final call, maybe an 8.
I would give it about an 8 as well. I guess you don't want to jinx him, but I'm almost looking for a ding-dong the witch is dead there at that point, because these are the Blackhawks. Everybody thinks they're going back to the Stanley Cup, and you, the little engine that could from Nashville, are about to bury them.
You know what I also liked last night? I like the yellow helmets the Predators were wearing.
That was real hot. I agree. That's something
kinda
different.
Cool. Yeah, because they always wore the blue helmets with the yellow jerseys.
Right, exactly. Going yellow helmets, it looked great, but it gives you that NFL color rush feel, but the way color rush should be done,
yeah.
If that makes any sense.
Yeah, it felt special. It felt old school. It kind of felt like the old LA Kings, like back in the early 80s. I really liked how that looked. And finally, the Ducks also take a 3-0 series lead. Quack, quack, as Corey Perry nets the game winner.
Here comes the attack for Raquel on the right wing side. Perry shoots in front. They score! They score! Nate Thompson in front of the net. Perry put the shot towards the goal from the right wing side. It deflected off somebody. Thompson, perhaps, got by Elliott, and the Ducks win the game in overtime.
Steve Carroll, Ducks Radio on the call. I'm not going to mark him down, kill him for not knowing who it goes off of. That's a tough thing in the moment in hockey with the deflection. But that's about a 7.5. I thought you could really get a little bit more into it.
Yeah, you know what? That almost strikes me as cockiness and arrogance out of the Ducks broadcast booth, because they're expected to beat the Flames. They're now up 3-0 on the Flames. And almost like, we're winning in overtime. What else is new?
Interesting. So can I get the Tyler Bozak game winner from the Maple Leafs one more time? Because that was the winner. That was a fantastic final call. That was the best final OT winner we had.
Dished off on the far side for Bozak. Centering pass, scores! Scores! Tyler Bozak! Holy mackinaw! The Leafs have won it! Tyler Bozak deflects the shot past Holtby! Hey, Mike Modano! There's going to be at least 6 games!
That's a great final call by Joe Bowen, Maple Leafs Radio Network, and they've been waiting for a winner in Toronto for a long time. They got one. This is pretty cool. They lead the best team of the NHL 2-1 right now in the first round of the playoffs. That's your Monday night NHL overtime winner. The first time that has ever happened. 4 OT winners of the same night since 1985. 855-212-4CBS. 855-212-4227. On Twitter, DA on CBS. I give you the information because next is Trash Tuesday. DA, CBS Sports Radio.
Welcome to Play It, a new podcast network featuring radio and TV personalities talking business, sports, tech, entertainment, and more. Play it at play.it.
Now get zapped while the sun is out.
I'm a shown up D alien now, sir. I will be calling back soon. Thank you so much, DA from Scarborough. Hail State.
DA on CBS Sports Radio.
Remember, if your local affiliate doesn't carry us, there's a multiple amount of ways that you can get us no matter what, or maybe you're outside of your normal listening area. On your phone, download the CBS Sports app. It's free. It's awesome. I use it all the time for breaking sports scores and news and headlines, and then one-touch streaming of CBS Sports Radio. Use the radio.com app, the TuneIn app, or Apple Music. Apple Music's feed and stream is amazingly smooth. If the stream is not smooth, please consult a physician. But I love using Apple Music. Also, you can just go to the website, daoncbs.com, and listen to the Click Listen Live link, or watch us using the watchda.com URL. So for those that are now new to us being in this time slot, when we were doing the overnight show and then the evening show, we would take Tuesdays to take out the trash, things that you want to vent about, things that you're frustrated about. Could be sports related, could be anything related, but we know that in today's day and age, you don't want to keep it in. You don't want to bottle it up, because then it comes out in weird ways, like you scream at a loved one, or you're an anonymous egg on Twitter and say some bad things. Like, you don't want to be that guy. So we take some time on a Tuesday to get it off your chest. If you'd like to vent, 855-212-4CBS. I'm like Dr. Phil, but instead of the DR, it's like a DA. Or you can tweet at me, DA on CBS, on the Twitter handle. Let's kick it off, boys.
So, what's eating you?
People that get in the left lane and drive the speed limit.
I gotta trash the NFL, man.
Trash my ex-girlfriend.
You want me to trash that?
Trash Tuesday, my favorite day of the week, not for nothing.
Time to vent. We take it out like the trash. It's Trash Tuesday.
All right, Mraz, you will lead us off today. Who are you trashing?
Well, here I am now. I'm a train commuter. I ride the train.
You're
now
a train guy.
I'm a train guy. So on my second day on the train, I've already found something that annoys me about taking the train.
Well, you're with other people in a public place. There's always something to be annoyed by.
Right. So now this is a guy now who's driven to the show 5 years in a car by myself listening to my own music. I get on the train. I get on at the very first stop along the way as we head into New York City. By about the fifth stop, the train gets packed in the morning, and I had somebody sit next to me today, which is fine, I understand.
Uh-huh.
The problem is, I have now slid over to the window. Okay, this person slides next to me. But when we get to Penn Station, the main hub here in Manhattan, where everybody exits the train and heads for whatever subway lines they have to get to, a lot of people start standing up, and they want to run basically to their subway.
Uh-huh.
The problem with this woman that sat next to me today is she sat there like it was no big deal. Let everybody else on the train get up, and I'm pinned, and I can't say anything to her. I just don't understand. If you're going
to
get on a
why
train...
Why can't you say something to her?
Because I feel like it's not my place. She should know, like, okay, get up. I'm being rude to this person next to me.
Can't you say, excuse me?
I can, but then it becomes a thing. What, I'm going to step over her because she's in no hurry to get up? You have to know, on a train that early in the morning, if you were going to elect to sit next to somebody and not stand, it is your duty to get up when the train is pulling in the tunnel at the main station so that a slob like me can get off and I have enough time to get to my subway to get here to produce a radio program.
You gotta know.
You gotta know.
You gotta know.
You can't leave me pinned in there. It's the last one off the train today.
Is your size part of this that you feel like...
Yeah, because I find it even ruder. Like, I feel like I come across as the rude guy if I go to, like, walk across her and my belly slaps her in the face. You know, that she's bringing that on herself. And if I end up next to this woman tomorrow, there's going to be an issue.
Taking out the trash.
Bogus, who's in the right there? Is it the woman that pinned him in, or is Mraz?
Well, he's actually in the right in this one little scenario, but I wonder how many people want to call in and complain about the new bald guy on their train messing up their morning commute after just 2 days.
Yeah.
That's about four rows of folks.
Yeah, the 5:30 train out of Babylon has a lot of complaints coming out of it right now. All right, Bilotti, we've got some new roster people here. We've got some new additions to the roster for Trash Tuesday. So, Pete Bilotti, who are you trashing?
Well, I have plenty to complain about, but I'm going to start here.
Okay.
When you have to go to the restroom, and you walk into the restroom and somebody is leaving the facilities still adjusting their pants.
Ah.
I don't want to see that.
No.
I want to see nothing to do with that. Be polite. and do it in the stall, and then we'll all be okay.
Boom. Trash.
Those people are gross.
I disagree. I'm a big adjuster in the hallway because you want to clear out.
In the hallway? You're around other people?
But it doesn't matter. In a bathroom like we have here at work, there's only three areas to step up to the plate, if you will.
There's the sink area, which is like the foyer.
Okay, I guess. But you want to get out and make room for the next person to shuttle in. And if I got to adjust the belt or whatever my situation is with my pants as I'm walking out in the hallway, I think that's fine.
But you're zipping up and adjusting the twig and berries while you're in the hallway?
I wouldn't say it's a full frontal situation, but there's enough there where it's legal to walk across and do it.
Well, it's legal. Okay, so that's our line here for Mraz. Good. That's the line. Andrew Bogish, who are you trashing?
Hershey Park, DA. Thanks for asking. Yeah, can we name names?
There's
an amusement park in Pennsylvania run by a chocolate company that I took the family to this weekend. That I was told staffed for 13,000 visitors and got 35,000 instead on Good Friday.
Wow.
Now, lines for rides are fine, but if you wanted a pretzel, half an hour, hot dog, 45 minutes, God forbid you wanted ice cream or a slush puppy, you had no chance.
Wow.
The place was a disaster. A disaster. I wanted to have fun, and my kids loved it because they don't care about those things, but it was so bad that I almost became an old man and wrote a letter. Mr. Hershey.
Would you have written it on paper, or would you have emailed it?
I probably would have went old school.
Wow.
Had I taken the time to actually got that angry. Let's actually put it on paper. Yeah. Let's go all in here.
Yeah.
Self-addressed stamped envelope for their response to me. Send it right across.
Quill and like a bottle of ink.
I don't know. I don't have a quill.
Old school, real old school.
Yeah.
I respect that. Write a letter. Write a letter, you get free tickets. You're back in July.
Wow, that's a terrible job.
Terrible job.
Someone just got trashed.
Half hour? Did you wait a half hour for a pretzel?
Pretzel? Because that was the easiest thing to get for lunch.
Half hour.
My buddy was online for an hour for a hot dog.
Oh.
Yeah, it was a disaster.
Oh, God, and there's so many kids there, and they're screaming, and they're off
no
the
place
leash.
To shit. It was hot,
parents
surprisingly.
Are terrible.
Yeah, it was not a good scene.
Well, you know, I'm a subway commuter, and that's a real bad scene, obviously. And the other day, I'm on the subway, and there's a guy chewing his fingernails. Now, normally, I can't take the nail chewers anyway because it's just such a disgusting habit. I mean, you're touching things all day, and then you're putting your fingers in your mouth. You know, it's like you're 3 years old, and you're just licking popsicle fudge off of your fingers. It's just disgusting in every way, and he's doing it in public. But now think about also doing it on the subway where you're holding the rails, you're holding the poles, you're holding the chairs that everybody in New York City has sat on all day. And who knows how often they clean those things. They probably never clean those things. So this guy's putting all that in his mouth as well. And then I was just so abhorred by it. I was just so horrified, so disgusted by this behavior that I actually looked at his nails. I wanted to look over his shoulder. You know, I was kind of behind him. I took a look over his shoulder to see what type of nails he's got. Dirt under the fingernails, soot under the fingernails as he's chewing his nails. It was disgusting. It was disgusting, reprehensible human behavior. And that guy's probably got the swine flu and some type of lung and pulmonary disease now. I mean, you don't know what you're eating in New York City. The guy might as well have been just dragging his fingers underneath the subway car. It was gross. He's probably got some type of rabies, some type of feline rabies now. And the guy is absolutely a monster, a Neanderthal even.
Trash Tuesday is fun for everyone.
See these people, Mraz? You're getting pinned in by a nice chunky mama next to you. I got the nail biters.
Yeah, that is pretty gross. Now, are you sure they were dirty fingernails? He didn't have like a chocolate glazed donut stuck under there? Mm.
This was dirt. This was soot because it's like the gray. It wasn't on the fingers. It was underneath the fingernails.
One of these union construction guys.
No,
there.
It wasn't even that. It was like a disgusting kid. It was like a skateboard kid that probably
Brooklyn hipster.
He's not even really working with his hands.
He's probably good dirt though. If he's top-notch soil
high-end
for his bonsai
hipster
tree.
Dirt.
Epic trash job.
All right, so if you want to trash anything, hit us up at 855-212-4CBS, 855-212-4227, Twitter, DA on CBS. Some more trash is coming in. Matt tweets, DA, I'm trashing myself because I slept through your show yesterday. Had to settle for listening it later on the website.
Epic trash job.
There is going to be an adjustment here. There is going to be an adjustment. One of our listeners tweeted me yesterday and said, DA, this is the first time I'm listening to your show sober. So that was a plus. That really kind of gives you a sense of where our listenership has come from. Overnights, usually very drunk after work. Then evenings, usually drunk perhaps before work or definitely after work. And now they're sober apparently before work.
Well, they're sober because of the time change, not because of their life change.
No.
This is they haven't started drinking yet.
That's exactly right. Yeah. No. And
hang in there, Matt.
We wouldn't want anybody to change their lifestyle. Bill tweets, I'm trashing John Lackey thinking that Eric Thames from the Brewers is on roids after he went yarded him yesterday.
You're so trashy.
I got to find this. Is this true that John Lackey claimed that Thames is on steroids because he took him deep? Oh, I hate John Lackey. Oh, he's just the worst. He is such a mouth breather. I mean, talk about a Neanderthal. He's like Barney from The Simpsons. Combined with like the most annoying jock in high school, like whoever was the most annoying, obnoxious jock that would just kind of like put the nerds in an atomic wedgie and hang them on the back of a door and like leave them and dump water on their head. You know, the guy that was just the dumbest guy in school. That is totally John Lackey. But just combine that with Barney from The Simpsons, Barney Gumble, and that voice. He is just the worst. And he was at the epicenter of the beer and chicken boys in Boston. So he's the guy where Terry Francona is there, esteemed manager. Everybody loves him. The guy's won World Series. Lackey comes in. He's like, yeah, why don't we eat more chicken? Why don't we drink more beer? Yeah, who cares about getting in shape? And so Josh Beck is like, that sounds good to me. John Lackey's like, oh, I love fried chicken. Oh. Ugh, I can't stand that guy.
Even if you're fat.
I really can't. I can't stand him. Was that Barney or was that me or was that John Lackey?
That was Homer.
Oh, that was Homer. Okay, so we're in that ballpark here.
I thought that was you just making the sound. Bilotti surprised me there.
See, I'm pretty close. Pretty close. Last night, you had Paul George calling out Lance Stephenson, which we discussed earlier in the show. And as I said before, now that the Pacers are down 2-0, I know that people are going to kind of freak out and say Paul George is a terrible teammate. Paul George shouldn't be saying this publicly. This is what I think. Paul George is frustrated because he's doing everything and his teammates aren't doing enough. Okay? And I think that Paul George is frustrated by what he has surrounding him and not being on a competitive team at this point in his career where if he was on a winning squad, he could be an MVP. Paul George is a top five best player in the NBA, certainly a top 10, four-time All-Star in his young career. I mean, the guy obviously can get it done. He is difficult to defend. He's got a fiery intensity. Paul George is an amazing player, but he's surrounded by a totally lackluster roster assembled by Larry Bird and a lackluster head coach in Nate McMillan. And I think that his frustration is right now boiling over. He sees that he's got two more years after this, but only 1 year is a player option in Indianapolis with Indiana Pacers. And I think that he's questioning whether he wants to be there long term. Now, him lashing out at Lance Stephenson, I don't really consider lashing out. He says he's got to control himself. And Lance Stephenson has basically needed that lesson his entire career. And he really has. Lance Stephenson has always been a different bird. He's always been tough to get through. He's always been a guy that's marched to his own beat. And I wonder if Paul George is at the point in time going, look, we're in the playoffs. We can't afford this type of nonsense anymore. Lance knows that, and I can't keep this bottled up any longer. Lance needs to chill. Lance needs to keep his emotions in check. I don't mind him calling him out. I really don't. If Paul George wasn't holding up his end of the bargain, maybe I would. I don't in this case. Kevin's in Idaho, listening on the radio.com app to CBS Sports Radio. What's going on, Kev?
Hey, good morning, DA.
Good morning.
Beam me up on that sweet and funky mothership.
You got it. What you got for me?
Thank you. Yeah, so I've been sitting on this one for a while now. So road construction is basically what I'm trashing, but I'm not trashing it just because they take their sweet, sweet time. Not just because they start multiple projects and they just, like, put the other ones on the afterburner. I'm really trashing them because the part of the road they expect us to drive on, and it's just left in shambles. You're driving over craters. And it's just, oh, that really causes road rage right there. So trash them.
Trash them.
Boom. Trashed.
They have been trashed. I think we all are all on board with better roadways, better infrastructure. The problem is the time it takes. It's like they can build a 100-story skyscraper in Dubai in like 3 months. If you want to get an overpass fixed, it's like 7 years. How are they doing this? How the hell are they building entire cities like within 3 years? It's a very difficult thing to figure. Jonesy tweets, DA, I want to trash the Wild for hiring a coach who can't get out of the first round. Everybody knew this was coming.
You've been trashed.
It's a bad situation in Minnesota and the Twin Cities, man. That's a good Wild team. That's a tremendous Wild fan base. They thought this was the year that they're going to get deep in the playoffs. They've spent money. They've assembled a winner. And now they've lost their first 3 games in the first round and are on life support to even win a game in the playoffs. It's a Trash Tuesday, so hit us up at 855-212-4CBS. Plus, one of the most intriguing players in the NFL draft, Sidney Jones. How high does he go? How low does he drop? Is going to join us next.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.